Father God, we ask that you would continue to lead us through this season of Advent. We ask that the ministry of your word on our hearts and our minds would make us bold to speak up on the real reason for this time of year and to give a witness to our Savior, Jesus Christ. And as John prepared the way for the people of his day, let us also prepare the way for people of our time and point them to the fact that this same Jesus who came as a baby is returning to separate those who believe from those who are not saved. In his name, amen. You may be seated. The 6th of December may not hold much significance for you. I have to admit, I've never paid a whole lot of attention to it myself. Some people here know more about it than I do. You may not consider it a part of our Advent and Christmas celebrations. Yet, on that day of the year, which was yesterday, this is December 7th, Pearl Harbor Day, and yesterday, on that day of the year, we remember a man who greatly influenced the way Christmas is celebrated. For December 6th is the date set aside in the church year to remember Nicholas, Bishop of Myra. But one of the best stories about Nicholas took place in his life long before he became an Episcopal priest. It is reported that Nicholas was orphaned. He was left without a mother and a father as a small child. But that very unfortunate event had a silver lining. He was left as an heir to a fortune. And while he was still a young man, he found out that a certain family in his town was so poor that the father was considering selling his own daughters into a despicable form of slavery. Maybe you can figure out what that is. I'm not going to say it. And one dark night, Nicholas crept up to this house, edged the window up, and dropped 3 bags of gold inside. It was discovered by the fortunate family in the morning. And so began the Christmas tale of a midnight bringer of gifts, laden down with heavy sacks, but motivated by a heart filled with compassion and generosity. And this story, of course, gave birth to many other Christmas stories. You know how it is. Including the most popular one in the United States, the story of a man richly clad in fine clothes, who delivers gifts to all children based on whether they've been naughty or nice. But the original Nicholas went on the streets of night and did errands of charity. The original Nicholas, he became a priest, turned his parish hall into a clinic during the plague. One time he refused to eat during a famine till everybody around him had received some food. And on another occasion he was thrown into jail, protesting the injustices being suffered by his people. I think it's safe to say Nicholas would be probably scandalized to see how people dress him up and talk about him today. Now, it might take a little work to fit Nicholas into our Advent and Christmas observances, but it takes a lot of work to fit the next person into it. For the man of the day is John the Baptist. Think about him. It certainly would have taken a lot of cleaning up and dressing up before we invite this man to our Christmas parties, wouldn't it? Everything about him, from his camel fur and leather clothing to a diet of bugs and honey, from his lack of political correctness and his offensive preaching, would probably make him a very questionable guest at our Christmas open house. He was the kind of guy that might barge in and throw both the hosts and guests into total dismay. But God found a good use for him. He was in God's plans, wasn't he? And Matthew 3 states, "In those days John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he who was spoken by the prophet Isaiah when he said, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight.'" What did John say to the highly respected religious leaders who approached him on that day? He called them a brood of vipers. That was the leaders. But if you read between the lines and look at the total picture, do you realize what he's really saying? So to speak, he not only called them vipers, but when he says that, he's saying their mother was a snake, right? And he is telling them to stop calling Abraham their father. They are not children of Abraham. They are offspring of that old serpent named Satan. Well, there was sure no soft sentimentality in his sermon, was there? John the Baptist had a serious statement to make, and he wanted their attention. And you can bet he got it. Martin Luther summed up John's message in what's known as the small called articles. They're found in our Book of Concord. And he called John the fiery angel of the apocalypse, a messenger who announced the time for the fulfillment of the mystery of God. So what do you think? Is John the fiery preacher in our title this evening? Despite all the bold claims and stinging criticisms, he is not the fiery preacher of tonight's text. In fact, if you listen carefully to John, he warns us against thinking that about him. Remember, he said, "I come with water only and a message to repent, but he comes with the Spirit and with fire." So we have three so far. We have Nicholas the bishop. We have Isaiah the prophet that we read about. And we have John the Baptist. But these are just little lights Their work was to point to Jesus, who is the light of the world. That's what Jesus said. He says, I am the light of the world. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. And as you read Matthew 3, correct me if I'm wrong, I don't see a whole lot about a sweet little baby there. That we remember Jesus as coming into the world as a baby is certainly appropriate. But we probably really need to focus at the same time on the fact that Jesus is coming again. And we all have an appointment with God, don't we? John said of this second coming, that's what he's really talking about in most of Matthew 3. I quote, His winnowing fork is in His hand, and He will clear His threshing floor and gather His wheat into the barn, but the chaff He will burn with unquenchable fire. See what John is talking about? I don't know how many farmers we have here today. When I first moved out to Chesterland from Euclid, there were a lot of farmers around. Not so many in this area anymore. And if you've never harvested barley or wheat, you might not understand this that well. You might not understand what a winnowing fork is. You see, farmers cut the stalks of grain and had them brought to the threshing floor. And there they used one of several methods. The idea was to pound and loosen the grain from the straw. There were several different ways to do that. We don't have to go through all that. But when it was done, and the grain had been loosened from the straw, one could then take a winnowing fork and throw it up in the air. And hopefully the wind could blow the chaff and straw away. And the grain would fall at the winnower's feet, where it'd be easy to collect. This was so important that when the threshing floor and other things were set up, they chose a place where the winnowing fork would be used. They tried to find the windiest place around there to put it, so that the wind would come along and help and minimize the work. If the straw and chaff didn't blow far away, it would then be burned. So what? Why was this story told? It's told because it is symbolic of the great day of the Lord, when Jesus will separate the righteous from those who are not saved. The Lord is coming again, but not as a baby. And at this time of history, John the Baptist isn't here, and Isaiah isn't here, and Nicholas isn't here. We are the little lights God seeks to use to point to Jesus as the light of the world. We are the ones who need to share with people that we are all sinners, and that we need to repent of our sins. We need to trust in Jesus who paid for them, and to be baptized into His death and resurrection. And I'd like to add something here. You know that Pastor Mark and myself have tried to emphasize this theme of find one more. You know also, those of you that have been here for years, For quite a number of years, we have printed invitations to our Christmas services and put them at the door and encouraged people to pick them up and invite other people. I know some of you do that. I just wonder how many of you have never invited anyone. You see, we have people who've moved into our community. We have people who are not churched. And too often, we let these opportunities just slip right by us. Just tonight, I was reading, the latest estimates are at least 60% of the population of the United States sits home on Sunday the entire year. And the Lord is counting on us to be His little lights at this time in history. To get out of our shell and overcome our awkwardness, say a prayer and go and invite someone. Put a note in the mailbox. Put an invitation in their paper box. Go to the door. Call them up. Whatever it takes. And let's not fool ourselves that we're doing this for St. Mark. We need to do this for Jesus. It's a matter of saving souls. So I hope no one's sitting back there and saying, same old, or I'm tired of hearing it. Because people, there is a lot of work to be done. Both in this township and all the surrounding communities. We pull from quite an area. And those who come to know the Lord, do you think there's any greater thing you could do for Jesus? Can you invite someone to church, they hear the Word, and they're drawn to Jesus, the work of the Holy Spirit? Those that come to know the Lord can be assured that if they believe in Jesus and they have been baptized, they have already been judged. Because those who believe in the Lord have been purified. We have been made clean and new by the blood of Jesus Christ. And when Jesus says to us, "My child, your sins have been forgiven," we can count on it. Our sins have been forgiven. His words are final. Advent should not be a do-nothing season where we spend most of it frantically going around the stores and shopping. Shouldn't be a season of artificial cheer. It should be a season of genuine joy. It's Jesus who gives our lives purpose and meaning. Let us do our part to prepare others for the next time Jesus will come as the King of Kings. Amen.